Well, I thank the Lord this morning for the privilege to be at Monarch Springs. It's been a few years since we've been here. I'm thankful the Lord has kept us saved, living for Him. Also, I'd like to acknowledge your prayers on my behalf. The Lord has touched me several times in my body, and I appreciate that. I believe that the Lord has given me a message this morning for the church, and He's also given me a burden. I'd like to unload that burden. The work of the Lord is close to my heart, as well as I'm sure this morning is close to most all of our hearts. I have a desire to see it go forth, a desire to see souls being saved, others to be sanctified, and others called into the work of the Lord. First of all, just to start, we'd like to start in the second chapter of St. Luke. And speaking of Jesus, in the 40th verse, it said, "And the child grew and was waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." He was 12 years old. Remember how it was that he went there in the temple, and his parents, as they was ready to return home, they couldn't find him, and they turned back to see where he was, and he was there talking there in the temple, counseling with the doctors and elders there. And 48th verse says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus said unto them, How is it ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Time had came when the Lord was entering in more into his father's business, into God's work concerning his life. He said, "Wist thou not, or understand not, that I must be about my Father's business?" We want to talk a little bit this morning about our Father's business. Now, as I understand, the Father's business concerning Jesus was reconciling man to himself. Men in their fallen estate. Men that were lost and undone. On their way to eternal destruction. And the business of the Father that Jesus had to take care of was to make a way that they might be reconciled to God. That was His ministry. Bring forth the gospel, the truth, the way whereby man might be rescued and might be saved. That was the message that Jesus brought to the world. And not only the message, but the life that He lived and the sacrifice that He made was whereby that men could be saved. They could have salvation and could have eternal life. That was the Father's business. I want to tell you this morning that God still has business in this world. And though He has taken His Son to Himself, He still has much to be accomplished. And He has chosen to take care of that business through His people and through His children by His divine power and by the Holy Spirit living and working in our hearts and lives. He has designed that we would have the ministry of reconciliation, whereby that we'd be able to help men find God, help men to be saved. And that's generally the purpose of all our life here this morning, is that we'd be able to reach out and help others know the Lord and to be saved and be reconciled to God. That's God's business. God's business is very important to us. It is not just dealing with the natural things of life, but it's dealing with time and eternity. Dealing with beyond this life, God's business is. The most important thing in your life. You may have several interests today. You may have several things you're involved in. But the most important thing in your life is God's business. Is the work that God has for you to do. And I think I like especially to appeal to our young people today and to all of us. Sometimes I speak to young people, especially after they finish their schooling, and so what you intend to do? What's your goals in life? What is your plan? What do you want to make of your life? What do you plan to enter into? And so many times when it comes to the terrible things of life, there's an uncertainty. Well, I really don't know what I want to get involved in, and I don't know really what I want to do as far as my occupation in life. And to you today, I'd like to urge you to consider God's business. To consider the work of the Lord. And that it would be first and foremost in your plans. Each and every one of us, young and old alike, especially I think of our young people, and I think of the scripture, I believe, in the third chapter of the Lamentation, where it teaches us there that it's a good thing to bear our yoke in our youth. To give our very best to God while we have our strength and while we have the prime of life and things are going well in our life, that's the time we need to dedicate our life to the Lord and to His service and to His work. Amen. My burden this morning is His work and the need for workers in God's business. And I believe it's great today. Talk to different ones, and perhaps you have too, and as you think about it, as we were coming to Monarch this year, first time in several years, we thought of different ones who had labored faithfully that had passed on, that was no longer with us. And some had passed on, and some had fell by the wayside, and we missed them, and realizing that time moves on, and the great need for those that will work in the work of the Lord. Those that will give their life to His cause, for His purpose. And each one of us want to consider that today. Now, God could have dealt with mankind directly had He chosen to. He could have talked to men's hearts, and He does, in a direct way. But generally speaking, He's chosen to use the lives of His children to bring the message of salvation, to bring the gospel, to bring the truth to a lost and dying world. He has chosen to use His children for the edification of the church and for the growth of the church. He has chosen to use His children, His people. And that's what we know that He wants to do. I was thinking of in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where it says there how that He set in the church apostles, how that He set in the church prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the body, for the edification of the church. He has put them in that work, in that place, that the church might would prosper and grow in Him. And as I thought of that, I thought also where in Corinthians it tells us not only was there the pastor and the evangelist and the apostle or the missionary, but there's also the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, and the gifts of helps and of governments. In the sixth chapter of Acts, it teaches us how they ordained and those that would be deacons and take care of the temporal things of the church. And so God has designed that His church would function, would operate through His people, through His children. And as I thought about that and was concerned about that, and speaking to others about such a desperate need that we have today, surely we need those who, like the Apostle Paul, went forth with the word of life and with the gospel and establishing congregations here and there, the Lord blessing His labors and working in that way. I think we'd readily acknowledge this morning that we need more missionaries. We need those who are willing to leave the conveniences and the luxuries of life and go forth with a love and a care for a lost and dying world to establish the truth, the gospel, and as we enjoy it today. I think we'd readily acknowledge today that we need in a great way more evangelists that are going forth with the word of life. Glad to see Brother Curtis Williams. My thoughts was with him the last a little while as I thought how he labored, and he and Brother Sammons, as well as others, over many years they labored faithfully in the evangelistic work. And they still are working as they can, but they're getting older, and they're not as strong as they were in their youth. And we need youth today that are called of the Lord to take forth this message of salvation and bring it effectively to the world today. I think also of the need of having pastors in our different congregations. We're aware this morning that there are a number of congregations that need pastors. Pastors that are able to feed them from the Word of God. Not just so much fill a slot or not just as much as get up and read some of the Scripture, but actually get a message from God. Some real food whereby they can give it out to the congregation and it'll grow. I believe that we have a great need for that, and I'd like to present it to all of us, and especially to our young people, that there are great needs in the church this morning. There are need for missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers that actually are functioning and working in the will of God and with His power in their life. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 18th verse, it teaches us concerning our place in the body of Christ, that the Lord puts us in there as it pleases Him. It isn't as much today that we would, thank you, that we would decide, well, I think I'll enter in to this part of the work of the Lord. Or I think I'll be a pastor, or I think I'll be a teacher, or I think I'll operate in the function of a helper in the work of the Lord. We don't function that way, but it's as the Lord places us in the body. And the Lord places us in the respective places, many members in one body having different labor and different work to do. He is the head of the church. He is the one that leads and guides and directs and calls us into the different place in which we're to fill. And we recognize that this morning, that it is His church. He is the one that calls us. He is also the one that qualifies us. Now, I'm getting down to my real burden this morning. I really acknowledge, and I believe you would too, there are great needs. There are great needs for missionaries when you think about the many fields where there are so many lost and dying and so many in confusion. We sit back and enjoy the truth that we have so many years. There are many places where there are needs for those to go out with the gospel as evangelizing in the world. There are needs for those who would be able to fill a place in our congregations. And I thought like this, I can surely see the need. I talked to some of my brethren, and they can see the need. And we being who we are, if we can see the need, surely God can see the need. And then I would say to myself, why doesn't God send forth more laborers into His harvest? Why doesn't He provide more qualified evangelists, pastors, missionaries, helps, workers in His field? Well, God only sends those that are qualified. Now, there may be others that go sometimes, but He only sends and places those that are qualified to work in His church. In advertisements, sometimes you probably notice them work sometimes. Help wanted columns in the paper. And sometimes they'll say, well, we need a mechanic. And it'll tell you a little bit about the job description and maybe what it pays. Then it'll say, only those that qualify need apply. Now, if I had never in my life been around an automobile, and I saw that, and I decided, well, I think I'll try that. So I go in and I say, well, I got two hands and you have the tools there. I like to be an auto mechanic. And if they were to hire me and I would look around there a little bit and didn't have any idea what any part on it was at all, I might put gasoline in the radiator and oil in the gas tank and a lot of things I might do because I didn't qualify for that. I might make the attempt and I might apply, but if I didn't qualify, I couldn't do that. So in natural life, there's many things whereby that people have to qualify. And if you don't qualify on a job, sometimes you can be more trouble than you're worth. Sometimes you can make the work harder. Someone decides, well, I'm going to apply to be a cook. Not know anything about cooking, and I don't. And see, the recipe, and it says, well, a little bit of salt or a little bit of baking soda. Well, that just seems like a little thing. We'll just leave that out. Well, you'd soon find out that you didn't qualify as a cook, wouldn't you? Just didn't qualify. And so many times in many employments, it says only those that qualify can we use. But we don't need you around there if you don't understand and if you don't have the ability, if you don't qualify to fill that place. Well, I'm going to apply that today to the work of the Lord. There are desperate needs. There are great needs for those to be filled in the work of the Lord. And I want to take time right now to express my appreciation for every child of God, every ministering servant, everyone that labors and in the capacity of help and our special singing and those that carry on behind the scenes and are serving the Lord and living for Him. I acknowledge that and I appreciate that. But I feel there's a greater need today. Not only just for that few, but everyone understand and assume that there is some of God's business for me. And God has some work for me to do. But the important thing is to know that I must qualify for that work. I must be able to perform that to His honor and glory and for His cause and purpose. Now, first of all, I'm going to mention several things that I believe will help us qualify. I think over here in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul here, speaking, it's his testimony, the first chapter and the 12th verse. It says, "And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me." That means He's qualified me. "He hath enabled me, for that He hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That's His testimony. The Lord Himself hath enabled me, has qualified me, and He is the one that has put me into the ministry. Put me into His work. Now, that could mean a lot of things, couldn't it, to us today concerning His ministry. The Lord may call you to work on a personal basis and dealing with souls individually, one-on-one. And it's He is the one that needs to enable us or to qualify us to be able to deal and be able to witness and to help them know the Lord. And then there are many other ways in which we labor and work for the Lord, but He is the one that enables us. He is the one that qualifies. He is the one that gives us that ability because it's God's business. Now, today, if we were like the religious world, we would probably advocate, now you get a little more education and try to be able how to persuade men and influence men and sell yourself to men and be able to kind of manipulate them. And there's ways in the natural man that sometimes people can be moved that way. And that's the way the religious world does it. But that isn't the way that it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the way that we work is to have God working through us. Is having His Spirit living in us, working in and through us. And that ought to encourage us. Because in every one of our lives that can be. If it might be according to natural ability or talent to persuade men, then some of us would be totally left out. But knowing that it is God that worketh in us, and His Spirit living in and through us, that I want to encourage every one of our hearts that I can fill my place in the body of Christ. I can be about God's business if I'll just humble my heart and let Him enable me or qualify me to work for Him and to do His purpose. Paul said it was the Lord who qualified him. It was the Lord who enabled him. I would say that to be successful in God's business, in working for Him, the more that we can be like Jesus Christ, the more successful you'll be. The more qualified you'll be. You really want to accomplish something for the Lord. If you want to fill the place that God has for you to fill today, the way that you can be most successful and do it best is to do it like Christ would do it. And to have His Spirit and His grace within our life enabling us or qualifying us to fill that place. Now in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew and the 29th verse is that familiar scripture where Jesus said, "Come and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul." Amen. Jesus teaching us how that we can know more about Him, how that we can be more like Him. And He says, "Come and learn of me." A learning process. And learn how I'm meek and lowly in heart. How that I'm humble right in the very depths of my heart. How I realize how empty and how nothing I am. Come and learn of me. To qualify for the work of the Lord means to come and learn of Jesus. And to humble our hearts and to receive that humility in our life. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the 57th chapter of Isaiah, it tells us where God dwells. And I want to read that for you. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite." That is where God dwells today. He dwells in the heart of the humble. He dwells in the heart of the lowly and the meek. And if we're going to be in God's business, if we're going to do His work, it is most important that we have God in us. And that we have Him dwelling in our heart and life, enabling us and qualifying us to fill the place that He has for us to fill. And that's where He dwells. Now someone might say, "Well, I have a real desire to do something great for God. And I think I'm going to just do that. And I'll try to do it as much as maybe one that I admire greatly. And I'm going to try to be able to talk like them and act like them and do like them because I want to be successful." Well, you can try that, but it's really not going to work. You can actually even pray, "Now, God, I want you to bless me. I want you, Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon me." But except you humble yourself, your prayer will never be answered. A person might even go into a fast and a prayer and say, "Oh, God, I want you to really work through me." But if we have not really humbled our heart and been filled with His humility, we'll not be able to be effective, and God will not be able to work through us like He desires to. I remember one that God chose to lead His children out of Egypt, out of bondage. One that God chose to take His children out of the land of bondage into the land of liberty and freedom where the milk and the honey flow. A real instrument in the hand of God. A real leader that He chose. What was the outstanding quality of that leader? He was the meekest of all men. A low spirit, humble spirit, meek, teachable. And God chose him to lead his people. Had a place for him to fill. I don't remember reading that God called Moses and then said, "Now I'm going to make you meek." But Moses was already meek, wasn't he? He was qualifying for what God had for him to do.
Amen.
Then I remember also of how that God chose a man to be king over Israel. Israel wanted a king, and God finally said, "All right, we're going to let you have your desire." And so he sought out a man to be the ruler or to be the king over his people. And the man that he chose was little in his own sight. When God chose him, when God elected him, it wasn't a proud man. It wasn't a self-sufficient man. Rather, as a man is kind of hiding himself away and was little in his own sight. And as long as he was little in his own sight, God blessed him and used him and ordained him in that place.
Amen.
When he became elevated and lifted up in his own self, God can no longer use him in that capacity. Now God designed for us as his children to lead his children into a experience where the milk and the honey flow. Finding others out in the land of bondage, in sin, and by his divine grace and spirit resting upon our life, to enable us to lead them into a land whereby they can be saved, sanctified, and enjoying the fullness of the blessings of the Lord. But the only way that we can do that is that God would anoint us, and God would work through us, and God would bless our labors. And that comes by his Spirit living in and through us. And he dwells with the meek and the lowly. That's part of the qualifications of working for the Lord. You want to be a good missionary for the Lord? You go forth into a place, sometimes maybe a backward country, not too much advancement and education. Be effective, you're still going to have to be humble, meek, lowly. If you want to work as an evangelist, I mean as God would call you to that, and work in an evangelistic field, he'll bless your labors through an humble spirit. In pastoring congregations and place that responsibility, overseeing a flock, it is all important that we maintain a meek and humble spirit whereby that God can use you and bless you. Do you remember what I said about the man that didn't qualify for the job and how he can tear up some things and do some bad things? Well, it works that way as well in the kingdom of God. If one loses that true humble spirit, become elevated and lift it up, then cause a lot of damage and a lot of hurt. To our young people this morning, I want to encourage you to dedicate your lives to the Lord. I want to encourage you to seek His business first in your life. But it's all important that we qualify. It is all important that we maintain a true, humble, and meek spirit. I was thinking also of the advantages of having this qualification of true humility. In serving the Lord and living for Him, I accomplish this or accomplish that. I don't know of anyone that hasn't made an honest mistake. And when we make honest mistakes, I have my own family, and I'm not against people having family. And I like to accomplish this or accomplish that. And what really happens is sometimes we never get around to the most important thing in our life. Good intentions, good plan, and I really want to do something for God, And I want my life to count for Him. I want Him to use me. But first I've had to do this thing and that thing. And maybe those things in Himself would not be evil or wrong, but it might hinder you in actually entering into the place that God has you to labor, where He wants you to work. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 23rd verse, the Apostle Paul spoke and he said something about there are lawful things that were not expedient. Lawful in themselves. Others may do them. An example, the Lord may want to call some to the mission field, and there may be others who are living for God and God's blessing their lives, and they are being established in a community. Maybe they have a home and maybe they have a job. And they're living for God and they have victory. It's a lawful thing, but it might not be expedient in your life. That's right. Not only might, but should. It should support the work of the Lord. Oh, the opportunity today. And the needs being as great as they are, I can only earnestly entreat you and challenge you, young and old alike, that we dedicate our lives to God. Yes. Remember, the needs are great, but God's looking for qualified. Yes. If we're not qualified, we might decide, well, I'm going to be a preacher, or I'm going to be a helper, I'm going to do this and I'm that, and you're going to be in the way. You're going to create a lot of havoc and a lot of confusion and a lot of trouble. But every one of us can qualify, and that's what ought to encourage our hearts. None of us have to be left out.
Amen.
Every one of us can be a real worker for God. It will humble our hearts before Him. Lord, I want You to give me a great portion of Your humility. It's not something You and I develop in our natural man. It's not something we have just because of a knowledge of it, but it is a gift of God. I want You to pour Your humility just thoroughly in my life, that every decision I make and every attitude I have would be just filled with the humility of Christ. And You'll be successful in Your work for Him. Lord, help me to love like You loved. Continue in that love that I might be effective in my labor for You. Then, Lord, give me Your wisdom and Your grace, and help me, dear God, to lay aside every weight and anything that would hinder me from entering right into Your work. Today, if you're waiting for God to put you in the work and then you think, well, then after He calls me, I'll start qualifying, I want to tell you it doesn't work that way. Say, well, yeah, I'd be willing to work for the Lord if He'll call me in. Get me in there, then I'll begin to seek Him for this qualification. The qualification comes first. Lord, help me to lay down my life and consecrate it that You might use me and work through me. May God bless each one is our prayer. Amen.